Welcome to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Hometown Hero Outdoors is thankful to work with these partners. Prohibition Barbers, Best Defense Armory and Range, McQuaid's Inn and Event Center. Here is your host, Daniel Meyer.
Welcome back to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Tonight we've got a pretty special episode. We've got three individuals on with us tonight. We've got Sean Olsberg, Kevin Mullins, and Jonathan Underwood. So Sean, he is a veteran of the United States Army. He served for 20 years and then retired, 2020, Sean?
2020.
And then him and his family moved down there to Central Texas. Still not sure how it's considered Central Texas, but that's where they're at. He started up a company there and then has been doing amazing things for Hometown Hero Outdoors. And then Kevin, he is a law enforcement officer originally from Chicago and then moved out to California and then back over to Texas. And then Jonathan, he's a veteran from the Marine Corps. He's originally from, I believe, Wisconsin. And then after getting out, he moved down to Texas. Did some work in the oil fields and then started up Caprock Waterfowl, which is where his involvement got with HHO. So without further ado, Sean, you want to kind of tell your story a little bit? You know, Sean's done amazing things for the organization, starting out, you know, going back all the way to 2017 and then started up South Carolina chapter and then moved down to Texas and started our chapter there.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. It's great to be on tonight. I got involved with Hometown Hero Outdoors in 2017. You know, I was a soldier just stationed out in a recruiting base in Rochester, Minnesota. Didn't really know too many people around the area. Got invited on a fishing trip, and man, we had a great time. Built a lot of relationships with the other fellow veterans and law enforcement officers. Then it was time to move to South Carolina to my last duty station. And got down there, and I realized there wasn't anything like it. So I talked to Dan and the other board members, and we decided to start a chapter in South Carolina, and got that up and going. And then I retired in 2020, like Dan said, and moved back to Texas, where my wife is from. It was always in the plans to move back here and start a chapter for Hometown Hero Outdoors in Texas. And so we've been doing that for about a year and a half, got that rolling, met some great people around the state, and the future looks bright for the Team Texas. And I'm currently now the regional director for Hometown Hero Outdoors, trying to help out state directors and train field staff and get them all on the up so they can proceed to do great things in their own states.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely important for, you know, all of the states to be on the same page. Me and Chris talked a couple episodes back, you know, making sure that we're trying to streamline everything and make everything as easy as possible. And your role as the regional director is definitely coming crucial for that. And then I don't think we've told the public this, right? But Kevin's taken over your spot as a state director there in Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
So I guess you guys are going to hear that here first, depending on when we release this episode. But okay, Kevin's taken over. I already gave you kind of the brief background of his history. So I'll let him talk about himself for a little bit.
Yeah. So I was in California. I was a law enforcement officer there for 7 years, and I got injured in a, we call it a 148, so people are resisting arrest. And shortly after that, I found out that I probably wouldn't be able to run again on my knee without certain surgeries that the department wouldn't approve. So I decided to move down to Texas. And the way I got involved in Hometown Hero Outdoors is I was actually going to a convention for concealed carry. And Sean was down there with one of our partners, Silencer Central, working the booth. And Sean asked me that day, ironically, he's like, what do you want to do, you know, once you are officially this apartment, like, what's like your goal? And I said, well, I came down here. I sold my house in California. I have a little bit of money and I want to buy a property and I want to allow veterans and cops to hunt on it for those that, you know, aren't able to now. And he looked at me and he goes, well, you don't have to do that. And I kind of looked back and was like, who's this man telling me what I can and cannot do? And so this is all while I'm trying to buy my very first freedom suppressor down in Texas with Silencer Central. And Sean told me about HHO and, you know, I'm eligible because I am a law enforcement officer, which is very rare in nonprofits like this. Most of them are only veteran based and I was excited. And so we did our first deer hunt together in November of last year, so 2021. And we kind of just hit the ground running from that. We did a 10-person deer hunt together in De Leon, Texas, down where Sean lives. And through meeting Sean and HHO and everything, I met Jonathan in January at SCI West Texas event. And we've all been really close friends and buddies since then. And I love the organization. I put on thousands and thousands of miles on the truck and been to multiple states for it already and done things I never thought I'd be able to do.
I think you told me when we were up at the banquet, but I can't remember. What? How did you end up in Texas from growing up in Illinois or Chicago? I know the people in Chicago don't consider themselves part of Illinois. To over to California to landing in Texas.
Well, so I like to travel. When you're a law enforcement officer, you get a lot of time off. And I'd been to 31 states already. I came down to Texas and I ended up staying like mile or so down from the stockyards. And I fell in love with just the whole Texas feel and the environment and the people. And I'd been to other states and I was thinking about like Idaho and Utah, Tennessee. But I love the stockyards and I love the people in the DFW area. Ironically, the stockyards is also where Sean met his wife. So I think that kind of is pretty funny down at Billy Bob's. And I love Billy Bob's and I just love the area. And Texas has a lot more to offer, I think, than people realize. And once I got down here and realized that, I signed a lease before I'd even left on that trip. And a week later, I was driving my truck and my trailer down to Texas.
Oh, I like it. I think anywhere is a lot better than California, but we won't get too far into that.
Yeah, we won't talk too much. I just got my new registration, and let me tell you, it was much cheaper.
Yeah. And then what are some things that Texas has done as far as trips? You guys have done some pretty unique things down there. So, and then, you know, we'll go from the trips to talking with Jonathan about his involvement with HHO.
I mean, our most recent ones right now, currently we have Aaron, who's one of our field staff members. He's on a fishing trip down there in South Texas. And the most recent one prior to that was with Jonathan. Actually, we did a thermal hog hunt with three veterans. It was their first time all ever hog hunting. One of your guys from Minnesota came down and the other two guys were out of Clovis, New Mexico. So we kind of, you know, had people come from a little bit over the country and not just in Texas. Every time we put up a Texas trip, we have a ridiculous amount of people from other states that want to do it because Texas just offers different types of hunts. Sean just put on that Axis hunt with Cisco D, which is like a once in a lifetime hunt as well. And I mean, Sean, I'll let you take it from there, but I mean, that's just recently in the last 3 months or so.
Yeah, Kevin, you nailed it. You know, Texas has so much to offer that other states don't. You know, they have a big feral hog problem down here. And so it's real easy for us to get access to hunt feral hogs. And that's something that our northern brothers and sisters don't have a chance to do. So we can do that, you know, using a low amount of money to get those hunts done and bring a bunch of people down. The deer hunt that Kevin mentioned, there'll be another one coming up this December. I guess it'll just be published now. December, the first weekend in December, we'll be having 12 members come down to Texas, and each of them can bring a child with them. And we're going to provide lodging and hunt for 3 days. We're going to process all of our own game and package it and send them home with their own venison, you know, to try and encourage some time to spend together with a parent and child that's sometimes taken away from us in the military or law enforcement in the jobs to get busy. We also have a big hunt coming up down here that can't do in many other states, is that gator hunt. So we're going to hunt.
That gator hunt's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, Dan. It's going to be sick. So three members are going to be able to get – are going to be selected for this hunt. It's going to include 2 days of teal hunting and 2 days of gator hunting, which they get to take the skull home. I think we got somebody to sponsor taxidermy for the skull, and they're going to take meat home. So it's going to – at a five-star lodge down by Houston, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's going to be an amazing trip. And then events that you guys do there, I think you guys do some of the more unique events that we don't really see anywhere else. You guys got to be part of a concert. You've got the clay shoot coming up, a barbecue competition there in Deleon. I probably said that wrong as usual, but.
Yeah, so some of the – we, you know, Texas has so many opportunities. There's a lot of – you know, every state has sportsman shows, but Texas just goes big. You know, everything's bigger in Texas. So we do a Ducks Unlimited event every year that's held at the Texas Motor Speedway. It's a 3-day event. They take over the entire track. I mean, they have live range. You can go shotgun, pistol, rifle shooting. They just take over the entire Texas Motor Speedway complex, which is enormous over by Fort Worth. Safari Club International, you know, we've gotten invited to a couple of their shows, which is a great organization to be with. The Dallas Safari Club, we've been invited to their show. This next weekend, you bring up cook-off. Yeah, we're holding our first HHO cook-off. I think it's the first one in the organization that we're actually going to be competing professionally. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's the first fundraiser type barbecue cook-off that we've done. We've got Alan's big one in Minnesota that he does, but that's more of a cooking class for, you know, I think there's about 50 people that come up for that. But like this is the first actually like sanctioned cook-off.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to bring a lot of visibility from the area, you know, to Hometown Hero Outdoors. And with each of these fundraising events, you know, the people that come and watch, the social media advertising, the stuff that gets put out, you know, it draws a lot of people that want to become supporters of our organization, and they see what we do and they want to be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I think in Texas, that's especially critical, the marketing or advertising piece of it, getting the name out there. Because Texas is so big, and I think that's one of the conversations that you and I have had before is, you know, how do we grow in Texas when it takes 16 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other?
Yeah, that's right. You know, just anywhere you go, it seems like from where I live is 3 hours. And so it's really important that we grow our field staff, and that's something that Kevin's going to start or continue to work on. So we can grow our field staff and have like regional platoons or regional groups in the state, you know, down in Houston, West Texas, down by the coast, and over North Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth area, San Antonio. There's, I think it's like 1.5 million veterans alone. And Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that it was like 200,000 law enforcement officers in the state.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds, I think it was like 200 to 250,000. Obviously, it's like constantly varying. We have a lot of laterals coming in right now to the state of Texas, too, from other states. I know, man, myself, just from my own police department, probably about 10 guys personally that have come down into the DFW area alone. So
it's a big shift into the Texas area, but I don't think I've ever heard anything bad about Texas. So other than the heat.
Yeah, it's hot. It's real hot.
And then, you know, talking about the, you know, the partnerships and getting visibility out there, you know, so we've got Jonathan on, Sean, you want to kind of go over how that relationship got started and kind of what it turned into?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited that Jonathan's here tonight, and we get to talk about him and his organization. So we had Jonathan was one of the very first people I met. Heck, I wasn't even in the state yet. I was on my way driving from South Carolina to Texas, and this gentleman gave me a call by the name of Stephen Mills, and he said, "Hey, I got your phone number from a guide that I was just on a crane hunt." I was like, "Well, I don't even know hell. I don't even know anybody in Texas. What are you? I don't know who that could be." And so, anyway, Stephen is now he's been by my side since the beginning of the Texas chapter, and he was introduced. He won a crane hunt through a drawing, and just happened to be at Caprock Waterfowl up with Jonathan Underwood. And Jonathan is a cousin to one of our Wisconsin team directors up there. And so, I mean, it's really just a small circle.
It really is. You know, you take the veteran law enforcement community, and I feel like you're always running into people that you either served with or know someone that you served with. And in this case, you know, bring it even smaller to the HHO family.
Yeah.
Isaiah's been with HHO since Wisconsin got started way back in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty awesome. So here we are today. We've created one hell of a friendship. It's not even a partnership. It's family. And so, Jonathan, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, he's on mute.
There you go. Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on this afternoon. It's a balmy day in Texas, so it's a mild day.
Yeah. But, so you're in the Marines. What did you do when you were in the Marines?
I was in the infantry, so I was an assaultman / tow gunner. I was in a weapons company with 2nd Battalion 1st Marines out of Camp Pendleton, Camp Horno.
Okay, and then how long were you in for?
I was in for 4 years. I served from late 2005 to I got out in 2010.
Oh, nice. Okay, and then moved down to Texas to be with your now wife, right?
Yeah, So my biological dad lived in Texas my whole life, and then but I was introduced to my wife now through one of my Marines, and just felt like a good thing. Didn't want to go back to small town Wisconsin and move to Texas. So met my wife, and she's 13 years. We'll be celebrating 10 years of marriage in October, and we've been together 13 years in January. So
definitely have to make sure you get that date right. So when she listens to this,
October 13th.
You know, Devin's going to listen to this, and you're going to
catch him. Oh, I already know. She's probably listening behind me somewhere.
And then once you moved down to Texas, you started doing oil rig stuff, right? And then is that when you also started Caprock Waterfowl, or was that a while later?
It was about starting the oil field. I worked in the oil field for about 6-7 years before we moved to West Texas. Then once we moved to West Texas, I started knocking on some doors and doing a little bit of crane hunting and waterfowl hunting and doing some hog hunting out in West Texas. I did, a lot of duck hunting in North Texas when we lived in North Texas, where she's from. But then did about a year out west, and then I started guiding some of my oil field clients on the side, basically for no money, just kind of as a perk for being one of my customers in the oil field. And then about a year later, I had some farmers coming in that said, "Hey, I got an outfitter that wants to, that's going to pay me X amount of money, blah, blah, blah." And I guided some as a kid and did a little bit in North Texas, helping some buddies out with some duck guiding, and talked to the wife and talked to some of the guys that are in the crew and said, "Let's go do it." And so we founded Caprock Waterfowl.
So it's you and a couple other guys that run the business?
It's yep. So me and my wife are partners in the business, and then I've got a couple guys that have been with me since the start. They kind of take, because of life, some of them have kind of taken more on as a part-time role, but there's me and about six, eight other guys that help out throughout the season, depending on what they're doing.
And then I don't think I've ever heard anyone complain about any trips that they've been on with you. It's always been pretty awesome reviews, and you guys guide for quite a bit of different game. What's your guys' seasons look like?
So obviously we hunt pigs. We can hunt pigs year round. When waterfowl season kind of gets in full swing, we really, you know, we're kind of grinding on waterfowl. That's kind of our backbone. September 1st will start dove season for us, and then we'll guide a few teal hunts depending on how the birds are. I mean, anybody that knows blue wing, or you know, you can have 2,000 of them today and none tomorrow with a little bit of a 5-degree temperature change. So we book a few groups for teal, but the big thing is sandhill cranes and geese. So that'll start the last weekend of October, and then that'll run all the way through. We can hunt cranes till the last weekend of January. We have no splits, no breaks. We're in the High Plains Mallard unit, so we don't have splits. It gets pretty Western.
It's pretty Western. I love it.
Yeah.
And then Sean, you've been out on quite a few hunts with them, right? How's your experience been with Caprock, from you know, the communication, the guiding, everything?
It's a top notch. It's five star. Jonathan's communication is better than mine, I'll tell you that. He's always getting on my ass. The hog hunting, Jonathan. Let's talk about how you run your hog hunts up there. It's different. So the landscape of where Jonathan operates is, it's not like hill country. It's not swampland. It's not forest. He lives up on the Caprock, hence the name Caprock Waterfowl. Go ahead and explain your land.
Our land, yeah. So it's vast. No trees, really, other than the trees around my house that block the wind. But so we've got big, wide open agricultural fields. We've got some CRP fields. So we kind of run and gun, whether it's side-by-sides or pickups. We scan. We'll take the QD mounts. We'll take the thermals off the rifles, and we'll scan, and then we'll find a group of pigs, and we'll try to get as close as we can with vehicles. We'll roll blacked out, and then reattach the optics, and then get on foot and get within as close as range, and then let the chaos happen. The good part with that is usually, you know, we can stay on top of them if we get in a good group, because I mean, it's flat. There's nowhere for them to go. So usually if we get into a good group, heck, Kevin, how many times we get on that same group the last hunt that you guys were on, the first one?
Yeah, I want to say it was, man, saw it, shot at it, saw it again, shot at it, saw it, like three from it, shot at it, like four times in one night, just because these pigs, I mean, it's hot out, and they don't want to run far because they don't sweat. And you can get on the same group of pigs in less than 30 minutes. And it was pretty wild. I mean, I can say spoiler alert, there'll be a little bit of video coming out from that hunt. There's some crazy things that are going to come out from that hunt. Dave up from Minnesota, one of the members, he had quite an experience, but, man, I mean, it happened so fast to where I was telling Jonathan this after the fact, I was like, I've never seen anybody hunt hogs that fast in that trip as we did. And it was literally to the point where, like, we would roll up on them, and there's a dust cloud. And because of the thermals, you can see through the dust cloud. But if you don't have a thermal on, you're like, what are these guys shooting at? And so Jonathan just knows that area like the back of his hand. And he hasn't lived through this whole life. But if he told me he did, I would have absolutely believed him. And so, yeah, four times in 30 minutes on the same group of, like, a 20 or 30 hogs. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's a sight to see, to watch, for sure.
So, yeah, if you can picture like the fields of North Dakota, you know, that's where I grew up, North Dakota. It's so my first trip up to Draw, which is a little town that's right next to Jonathan's house. when I say town, it's a there's about five camper spots in a house. That's it.
And I've been to Sean's town. We went there together. It's pretty tiny.
And so
they have one pizza place and one burger spot.
Oh, I'm talking about Draw, Texas, where Jonathan lives, and there's one man that manages. He owns all the property, and he came up to me, and I was like, "Yeah, it's pretty flat, it's similar to North Dakota, but I mean, we got a little bit of hill." He's like, "Yeah, you can watch your dog run away for 2 days."
Yeah, it's a different experience. A lot of guys, you know, when they think hog hunting, they think Texas, they think deer feeders, they think deer stands. Man, we run and gun. You know, it's a lot different. I mean, you do have to be somewhat mobile because obviously a lot of guys are going to are no-till where they, you know, they don't plow their fields, so we can't drive in them. So we got to walk in them. So sometimes it can be a little bit, you know, physical. But that's why we got the Sasquatch RJ to drag him out of the field. So which there will be some pretty good footage of the Sasquatch in true form on the video show that Kevin's bringing out. So
yeah. And then how is it, you know, working with landowners out there? Is it, I know obviously hogs in Texas are a nuisance. Are they pretty willing to let you guys hunt out on their property, or does it take some grease in the wheels a little bit?
It takes grease in the wheels. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we're a legitimate operation. I think just like anything in life, right, you've got good and the bad. A lot of these guys have had good experiences, they've had bad experiences. Obviously with us, we carry, you know, I carry insurance, you know, I'm a professional, it's a legitimate business. So plus we live there now. Actually, some of our farmers got us the property that my wife and I purchased last February. It never hit the market, so they put us right in the heart of everything. That's where they wanted us to be. We're a member, we're a part of the community. We, you know, we donate hunts to the local stock show and some of the local organizations. And, you know, I'm very active in with my 8-year-old son coaching baseball and just being a part of the community. So it's a little bit easier now than it was, I would say, back in 2016 when I first started knocking doors. Luckily, I knocked on the right first door, I would say. I had a gentleman that basically took me under his wing. He's an older guy. I mean, he's in his mid-80s, and his family's been there forever, and he's kind of the sway of the community. And he's, you know, I've done him right. He's done me right. Small town West Texas is the epitome of, to me, what, you know, the old school where I grew up in, you know, Wisconsin, you know, small town Wisconsin, where everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows who's driving what. You know, we all look out for each other, and it's a really good, really, really good community.
It's hard to find a lot of those these days.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. So to kind of carry off of that, so I mean, I've been out out there with him quite a bit, and I was there the day that they signed the lease for their brand new lodge. Caprock's got a brand new lodge, and one of the main reasons that the people that they signed with gave them the rights to rent out their property, and he explained to them why they're doing it, is just because of the type of people that Jonathan and Devin, his wife, are. And I think that like kind of speaks volumes to just who he is as a person. And he's absolutely right. We'll be driving down the road in his truck and he'll be like, that's this person, just based off of their vehicle. And if there's a time that there's somebody that's not supposed to be in that area, Jonathan wants to go after them and figure out who it is, especially if it's in the middle of the night.
If Kevin's sitting in the bed of the truck.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's completely fine.
We can't just breeze past this brand new lodge that they're working on. So make sure that we get back to that.
We will. Yes, absolutely. But I think it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, I've been out there quite a bit with him and mainly to, you know, make videos. Jonathan doesn't only help HHO, but he also helps female youth hunters and disabled hunters as well. Him and Devin have big hearts and help a lot of communities. And I think that when you like finally get out there and you literally like know who they are as people and as family, as Sean stated earlier, like, I mean, this is not just HHO anymore. This is not like a business partnership. This is family and this is friends. It's why before this call when I found out he was within 45 minutes of me, and I was pretty upset that he didn't tell me he was in the area, considering we live 5 hours apart. And but yeah, so I mean, I think that they're only as successful as they are because, like, deep down, true in their heart, they really do care about their community and the veteran organizations and everybody else for that matter.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty easy to tell, you know, the people that are out here. You know, obviously run a business, your goal is to make some money, but you know, your goal is also to, you know, put back into the community and be a supportive business for, you know, not only HHO but all the other organizations that you help out as well. It's really easy to tell the two people apart from, you know, who does that and who just cares about making a quick buck.
Yeah. To touch on that a little bit, we had some of the stuff Jonathan's done for us is not only with our members, every trip that we go out with our members, we've been able to, he invites us right to the house. We do cookouts right there. He invites everybody over. He gets to know all the members, gets talking to them, you know, and he's one of us, right? He's a veteran himself. So it's just the camaraderie that we bring to his place, and he provides the spot for that fellowship to take place. You know, we've had members out to his house that have reached out to him, you know, and just took him aside, just like a field staff member, to talk. And I'm sure Jonathan can go into some of those details. He also invites us up and hosts our staff, our Hometown Hero Outdoors field staff, to go up and do a team, you know, a team huddle, a team training. And we'll hunt, but, you know, it's not all about the hunting. So, Jonathan, why don't you touch on some of that?
Sorry, guys. My computer got hot sitting in the Texas heat. So
I was wondering where you went. I was like, man, yeah. We lost it, man.
Yeah, I lost it. So, but,
yeah.
I kind of thought the tail end of that, Sean. You were talking about, you know, some of the guys have had a chance to reach out to us on some of the hunts, after the hunts. You know, a big thing for us, you know, when we got involved in 2020, I reached out to my cousin. You know, 2020 was rough on the country. I think it was rough for everybody. A lot of guys were locked up, you know, and I would say prior to 2020, you know, we were losing our own a lot. And then you throw lockdown in that. That's when we did our first hunt, was fall of 2020 with Larry Holitsky and Team Colorado. Team Texas wasn't a thing yet. We got a lot of guys out. Again, in 2021, things were still pretty tough. I mean, I think we're still recovering. Is a couple of the hunts that Sean came out on. One of the first hunts Sean came out on, we had some really good interaction. I mean, I had guys that, you know, that they were on the edge. And if there's something that, you know, just the brotherhood of us sitting in my backyard, you know, grilling, drinking a couple cold ones after a good hunt, or my wife introducing Sean to ranch water, right, Sean? So I think, you know, we've had several. And to me, if we can save one, you know, if we can help one brother or sister out of a dark place and get them into, you know, interacting with other veterans or other people and get them out of that shell, we're winning. Because that one person is going to spread to another person. I mean, it's, you know, it's the pass on, you know. You know, I buried more brothers since I've been out than I ever did when I was in. And so it's kind of a win. And I think that's what keeps us going back and wanting to do more and more is just being able to get those guys. So and being able to help each individual.
I think from doing HHO for a while, you know, there's a lot of times too where the people that come out on these trips, they don't necessarily realize like how beneficial it is just to sit in a blind, you know, be out hunting pigs with fellow brothers and sisters, you know, either military or law enforcement, how much of a release that is to just forget about everything else and deal with, you know, making sure that you're hitting where you want to hit and then just having those conversations.
I mean, I would say, I mean, I've been on a handful of trips now, and I know Sean and I did that big hog hunt down in De Leon, Texas, the Comanche area. And I did it, this most recent one with Jonathan, and everybody's like, man, you don't have a gun? I'm like, no, man, like this alone for me being here and watching you guys hunt and see what you guys get out of this is reward enough. And I joke with everybody that like that one trip may make the biggest difference for you. And they're like, really, like I have a cheat code where I go to as many trips as I want to from hosting them or helping Sean with like a deer hunt or a hog hunt that he's putting on. Or it's I don't know. I told Sean this our very first night together after I had shot my doe on my first HHO trip. And I was like, man, this has already been life changing for me. Like I moved to a state that I knew nobody, and I already feel like family. And I've definitely felt that way. And I mean, Dan, you and I have, met each other during the last banquet and everything. And, I know the next one, we've already broken the barriers there. And I think that because we've met each other, it's better. And Sean and I are like family. I spent the Super Bowl with him, and I've sat down at his house multiple times now. And I mean, man, Jonathan and his wife have been more than accommodating for me. And I think that anybody that wants to get involved in anything, like this organization can just help you so much mentally, which is like really what our goal is, whether you're a field staff or, you're just trying to go on a trip.
Yeah. And then remind me, Jonathan, at the end to plug Cap Rock one more time, so that way I don't forget. But you've also had the opportunity to go on a hunt with HHO when you weren't having to be the guide, right?
Yes.
Got to go out to Colorado. How was that experience?
That experience was a once over lifetime experience. That operation up there in Colorado, absolutely phenomenal. Larry Holitsky did a great job lining everything up. Getting a chance to be backseat for once, and Sean and Kevin can tell you that it's hard for me to sit backseat because I got to be in the middle of it and just, but it was nice, especially after, coming out of a grinder of a waterfowl season as last year was. I mean, it was a grinder right off the rip all the way through. So absolutely awesome. We were very successful. I took my very first elk. The other member took his very first elk. Was able to help him and show him how to process right there in the kitchen of the lodge, just sharing the fellowship. We went out to eat lunch the next day, and we sat down and had dinner and had some drinks and got to socialize there at the lodge after the hunt. It was awesome.
Yeah, and being able to get that relaxation from like you were saying, you were grinding away, doing your thing, and then being able to step away from that for like a day. And that, so funny story with that trip, we, on many of the other podcasts, we always talk about being transparent with everyone. We had some unexpected expenses come up on that one. And Larry called me like, I think you guys had probably already left Texas or you're about to leave in a couple hours. He's like, hey, this trip is going to cost more than we expected. There's a couple unexpected things that came up.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we can't say no, because then they're going to have to turn around and go home. So made that happen. And, with anything, there's things that are going to come up that aren't expected. But, at the end of the day, our ultimate goal is to make sure that those that we're getting out have the best time that they're able to have out on these trips.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I really thank you guys for making it happen, too. I mean, being able to be successful, I think within the first 3 hours of hunting, I mean, we were done. So you guys were able to make that happen. And
it's a pretty easy elk hunt. I've got Chris Ehrman and his buddy coming out here in November. Hopefully I can get them an elk hunt done in 3 hours.
That's awesome. Yeah, I hope so. It was a no-brainer. And the spoils and the pass on with that is we do some of these trips that we have coming up. Like we have the staff hunt coming up in staff dove and teal hunt coming up in September. I'm sure I'll make either elk burgers or make some elk backstrap for the guys when they're here. Cause I know Kevin loves that mule deer. I introduced him to mule deer a couple months ago at the house, and I think he's absolutely in love. So
I ate elk for my first time in my life, mule deer. And
I wish everyone could see the face that you just made, Kevin.
I'm really, really locking. So they make elk, mule deer, but so Devin, Jonathan's wife, his partner, his business partner, she makes millionaire spaghetti with elk ground. Oh my gosh. So the other three veterans just came out for their hog hunt, and we were talking about, you know, meals and everything along those lines, because, like, you know, Sean stated earlier, they invite us into their home and everything. And both nights we had meals at Jonathan's home. And that second night I was literally on camera watching Devin, how she makes her millionaire spaghetti, not just for the video, because I want to learn how to make it myself. You know, I'm just stealing ideas. But it was so good with that elk burger, man. It was absolutely delicious. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, when people come out to hunt with Jonathan, it's, you know, it's not just about the hunt. It's about, you know, connecting and
absolutely,
you know, having those conversations, which reminds me, we skipped over it. And I said we didn't want to. This new lodge that you guys have.
Get after it, Jonathan.
So it's not brand new. It's nothing fancy, but it's a very nice place. It's a brick home. It's a brick farmhouse, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. It's got a full kitchen. We got a nice back patio sitting area. We've got a grill out back. I'm actually fixing to move my Traeger over there before dove season starts, because I'm going to upgrade a little bit at the house.
All right.
And because it's hard to find lodging out in the middle of nowhere, as Sean said. I mean, my wife will tell you we live in Tahoka, but even though we have a Tahoka address, but we're a mile from Draw. The only separator is there's not a post office in Draw, so we can't have a Draw address. So she'll tell you. But it's nice. It's a good place to stay. You know, the guys that have been up here, otherwise you got to drive 25, 35 minutes to get out there. And it kind of wraps up the full circle of the West Texas experience, because you're outside the city limits, really. The sky's dark. You can see the stars. I mean, in one given night of scanning hog hunt, I mean, I guarantee you, you'll see 20, 30 shooting stars at night, at least, because it's so dark. I mean, it's just black. There's no ambient light. Got my beloved sectional. If anybody, any of the guys that have been in our house, that have been on a hunt with us with HHO, that have been to the house, that have sat on my beloved sectional, memory foam sectionals in the lodge. It's nice. It's clean. The AC works great. The heat works great. We're thrilled to have it. So
that's awesome. And an amazing addition into the service that you guys have, for sure. Oh, and is that going to be open for people to start booking with their hunts?
Yes. So that's available now. You know, we're only going to sleep a few. We're not going to do what some of the other guys do in other areas. We're going to keep it comfortable. So, six to eight guys.
Yeah. We're not the Navy, so you don't want people just stacked on top of each
other.
Well,
no. Jonathan's underselling himself. So our first ever, patrons there that stayed at the lodge were this last HHO hog trip. That was the first one. And I mean, and I've been looking at your schedule. I don't know if there's anything in between now and then, but I think your second annual is also going to be our little team building HHO trip for the teal dove hunt in September. But it's awesome. I mean, I've stayed there. You can't really ask for anything more. And you're right in the middle of all the hunting property, right? You're not having to, like you said, drive 30 minutes outside of the way or all the way out to Lubbock from Tahoka, which is a 45-minute drive. So, I mean, it's a pretty prime spot.
If there's damage that's done, it's 100% Kevin's fault.
Yes, but I recorded it when we rented it, so I can also show you what was already there. No problem.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's 9 minutes from the house or Cap Rock headquarters. So that's going to makes it super nice and easy for us to take care of. So,
you know, having lodging for your clients to come out is just priceless, really. You know, those guys get up, you know, you expect them to be at the headquarters at Odark 30, and now they can just roll up. You can be at the lodge, pick them up and take them to where they need to go. I've stayed multiple times, and it's a 30, 35 minute drive to town, and then you're staying in a in a hotel paying top dollar, you know, for a subpar hotel. And this way you can just stay right out in the field. You're just right.
And it's cheap, Jonathan. How much is it per person per night?
It's $50 a night per person.
Nothing.
Yeah, no, that's cheap. Cheaper than
a hotel, and everything secured. Like it's amazing.
You know, everybody worries about when you go on these hunts. You know, where are we going to stash meat? Right, that's always a thing. We've got a deep freezer there, so if guys want to freeze meat if they're flying, I've got a taxidermist that'll come. Tad, he'll drive in. You know, we'll fill out all the transfer paperwork. You know, if guys want to get birds mounted, I think we had guys get. We had one guy who actually shot a bobcat on this last hunt, his first bobcat. So it's getting mounted. You know, Tad comes, picks them up. We put them. I mark all the information down. We do the transfer paperwork there, and Tad drives up, picks them up. We had one guy getting Dan, the cop from Minnesota. He's getting a skull European mounted of a hog, the first hog he shot the first night that RJ decided to wrestle.
Please tell that story. I was going to bring it up.
Let's hear the 45 minutes.
So let me just like set the precedence and I'll let Jonathan go from there. So Dave, he came down a night early. He's come down from Minnesota and I explained to him like, hey, we have a lodge. But if you're going to come in from the airport to save you money, right, I'll help you out. I'll drive you from the Lubbock airport down to Tahoka. It's a 45 minute drive. No problem. Jonathan and Devin were great. They already had a dinner plan with family, and they invited us out with them. We went and had a beautiful meal out in Lubbock. Well, because the lodge is still a work in progress, we're just, you know, putting up some mounts and everything along those lines. They pretty late. I would say it's probably like about 11 o'clock. I can look at my call log. But shortly after that, I get a call from Devin, frantic, right? And she's like, we hit something or – something along the lines of we hit it and it's gone. And in my mind, police officer brain is she got in a hit and run. Somebody's driving, right? And they only live about 15 minutes from the lodge. Like it's very close. Like it's not a far drive and it's all county roads. And I'm like, man, how did they get in a hit and run? So I run out of the door, just zooming. And I call back a second time. I was like, I don't know where you guys are at because everything looks the same to me. So I was trying to get them to send me a pin or something along those lines. And they go, bring Dave. And I said, oh, okay, there's a hog somewhere, somehow. I'm flying down in my truck and I show up and I see like this very faint iPhone light and Devin's flashers in the back of her Tahoe. And I drive down into the field and you'll see it. I get yelled at for driving down in the field. It wasn't planted where I drove for the record. And I'll let Jonathan take it from there because he's laughing because I got yelled at. I mean, it's going to have to be in there. It's great. And I know better, and I didn't do it, but they thought that I didn't know better.
So, yeah, like Kevin said, we went to Triple J's. Dave and Kevin joined us for supper, dropped them off. We went to the house to go grab a few things, and we were coming back. We hung a few things. I hung out, sat around the table, and just conversated for a little bit. We're like, well, all right, Devin's like, hey, we got to go. So, we're like, all right, we're leaving. And we're headed home, and there's this little stretch of trees right there that it's there's a couple patches of trees, and the first patch I'd run over I'd hit a raccoon that one raccoon of a family of raccoons, and Devin looks at me and she goes, slow down. I'm going about 50, so I slow down to like 40-45. She'll tell you it's going faster than that. Well, I go a little bit and then I see this hog come out of my peripherals. It's coming in front, so I lock up the brakes and I tap it and it rolls out. And of course, if anybody knows my wife, she loves her Tahoe, right? So she's instantly like, I just told you to slow down. Like, you know, I'm getting an earful. So I throw it in park and we get out. And RJ, you know, we call him the Sasquatch. He's one of my guys. He's like my brother. Jumps out the Tahoe. And Devin and I are looking with our iPhone lights, looking at the front of the bumper of the Tahoe. And, you know, everything's looking good. And all of a sudden I hear RJ screaming, John, bring your light, bring your phone, bring a light. And so I go out and I find RJ and I hear it and I see him finally and I walk up on him. And he's got this 238-pound pig in a chokehold laying on top of him, holding on, legs spread out. And if anybody knows that's hunted with us, that's hunted with RJ, you'll understand, you know. And so I'm thinking to myself, all right, what do I got? All right, RJ may have a knife. No, he's got a box cutter. Okay, wait a minute. We just took the pistol out of the Tahoe. I don't have a knife in the Tahoe. 90% of the time, we're in my truck, which has got a gun.
So immediately I start yelling at Devin, call Kevin, tell him to bring a gun, get here. So about 7 minutes go by, and you'll see in the video, RJ's got this hog.
I was not told to bring a gun.
And here comes Kevin bringing the gun. And yeah, of course, Kevin comes flying up, you know, and we're laughing, and they come up, and then, you know, of course, what's Kevin trying to do? He comes over, and he's trying to rub, looks like he's trying to rub the pig, and grabs the legs, and we get old Dave. Yeah, we get Dave. He got to shoot a pig point blank. So that RJ was playing round, and then just decided to tackle, and you know, anybody knows anything about pigs, a 238-pound pig is a big pig.
Yeah, so he's just holding on to that thing for like 5-10 minutes.
He was literally so I watched the
video, 9 minutes.
It was 9 minutes. It was a really long video, but it was pretty entertaining because at one point, like, the pig's like kind of kicking, and RJ's got it in like a chokehold in this video before I had even showed up, before I got yelled at for driving to this field. Didn't drive in it for the record. And he's like, I'm gonna hurt you. He's got this pig in a chokehold as though it's a person. And we guys later, and maybe you mentioned this story, Jonathan, but like, it had 4 or 5 inch cutters. They were big cutters, and the hunt had not started yet. This was like just like a preliminary day. Like, he's arriving a day early, and that's how like much Jonathan cares about like the experience. They could have easily taken this pig out, and they didn't. And we had Dave come from the lodge. I mean, it was probably like it felt forever because I thought they were in a hit and run. I had no idea what was going on. And he took it out point blank. It was a sight to see, and I still wouldn't have believed it unless I have a video of it and saw it in real life. It was hilarious. Yeah,
that's quite the way to start the trip out, for sure.
Yeah, I received a video text message at, I don't know, midnight, and I was like, oh man, this is going to be a good weekend.
It was a great.
These boys are about to have fun.
We started it out in like the best way that you possibly could, and the other two guys that came in afterwards, I believe it's AJ and Camden. Who are trying to get on our field staff now, they just had the best time. Like, man, we just missed it. I mean, unfortunately, you know, they had to work, but man, I always like kind of question guys coming down from other states, and Sean will attest to this. Like, we had, I would say, on our pig hunt and our deer hunt, more than 50% were out of state because of how deep the, you know, the North and the Northwest, is. And, man, this man flew down, and he had the opportunity of a lifetime. We're driving back with a pig in the back of my truck, and he's like, you guys do things different down here. This is definitely interesting. Like, I was like, do you think that we're crazy? Like, because I think this is wild. So,
yeah. I'd say majority of other states think Texas as a whole is a little crazy.
You know, yeah, we say, Dan, it's the patron state of killing shit.
Yeah.
One cuss word. Pretty good for me.
I think that's it. We're good. We're 52 minutes in. One cuss word.
That's one cuss word. That's not bad. Not bad.
It's going to get Western. I've heard that multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're riding with Cash. Sean's ridden with Cash. Hog dogging.
Cash is another animal, man. That kid is on a new level.
So that's one thing. When you book with Caprock Waterfowl for the hogs specifically, you know, everything's included. You have a chance to hunt with thermals at night, provide all the weapons, optics, just partnered with Silencer Central, you know, one of HHO's partners as well. And if you want to do some stabbing, he's got guides that have hog dogs to go out there.
I was just going to ask if you guys do the hog hunting with knives. That'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm in the best shape to be doing that anymore, but
yeah,
the dogs do all work.
Yeah, what is it, Sean? The first trip you went on, we did hog dogs, and your guy, he's one of the field staff guys from one of the other staff members from Colorado, was like, I don't even want to shoot them with thermals. I want to go hog dogging again. He's like, it was such a rush, and it is. I mean, it's a totally different experience, just like what Dave got to experience. You know, that close, you're up close and personal. One of us is holding the pig. I mean, the dog's got a hold of the other side. I mean, it's, heck, we just had 12 and 13-year-old girls out in March doing it. It was
and it's safe, right? Like, Cash knows what he's doing. He's been doing it a long time. Like, that's just like his lineage. It's safe. Sean will never do it again. I mean, I know everybody on here has given Sean so much credit. Like, his beard is gone now, really. So, like, what does he have left?
Gotta humble him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've listened to so many podcasts of, you know, just Sean, just people on here talking about Sean and his beard.
It was a glorious beard, man. Yeah. It was glorious.
It looked great, though. I will say this, and this is like one of the things I was joking about. And I wish Jonathan kept. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to see this. It's just audio only. Jonathan had mustache only. He just had the dirty stash. He went into the beard since the last time I saw him, because I think he knew that it was going to be a video thing, and it may be Dan. I don't know.
Audio
for now. But so Jonathan went back to the full beard, and but yes, you all love Sean and his beard. You guys have a love relationship for Sean and this beard.
I think it's jealousy. I can't.
Absolutely, it's waiting 20 years.
So
having to shave every day.
Sean makes fun of me for my beard, and so just for this podcast, I straightened mine just so he couldn't give me anything for it.
I'll take a picture so that way we can post it up on Facebook to tell people about it.
Yeah, he's not quite living under a bridge, but
the only other time I haven't had like a bad beard is when I was in Minnesota for the banquet, and we went to Prohibition Barbers, and they cut me up real nice.
That's right.
Oh yeah, Prohibition free advertising. Prohibition, probably the best barber around.
Always
best barber.
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm excited for the next banquet just to get my beard trimmed again. Jonathan's going to come with us. I think you already promised that. Yes or no?
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, what are the dates?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's March 25th.
Yeah.
Let me look on the calendar.
Not only does Jonathan donate hunts and you know his place to us, but one thing he also supports is our annual banquet. Last year, Jonathan donated a $5,000 hunt credit. Was it hunt credit? You tell me. I can't remember. It was a goose hunt, maybe?
No, it was a 3-day thermal hog hunt with lodging.
Yeah. So you know that hunt there, I think it raised about $6,000 for our organization.
And he's already promised to give us another hunt. We haven't like gotten to like nitty gritty details, but for the next DU, Jonathan's going to get an end cap.
Sounds like.
Yeah, no, Jonathan's going to get an end cap. I said, I don't know if, you know, HHO is going to have that kind of money split that with you. Maybe we could figure it out somehow. But he's like, hey, man, just letting you know, next year, instead of you going with somebody else, right? And this is months in advance. That's not till next April or March. I want to donate a hunt to HHO as a fundraiser to help you guys raise money. And that's how much he like cares about the organization. Unfortunately, because Sean's terrible at communication, we didn't get that for the last one. We did go through somebody else. Sean, that's, you know, just a little shot at you. It's fine. Love you, buddy. but Jonathan's he's going to go ahead and give us that hunt. And so definitely come out and see us at the DU event next year.
And when does that DU event happen every year?
Oh man, it was in April, right?
It's the first week of May. So they've already released the dates for next year. It's the first weekend in May. Last year we had a booth right next to you guys. I think we're gonna try to move to the end cap right by you guys again. I think you know that'll be a big draw. You know, if we're right there, we can help push the raffle and go that way as well. Cause you know, as much as whatever we can do to give back. I mean, the more guys we get out in the field, you know, I think, like I said, we've done 8 trips now, 9 trips. You know, the more we can get people out, the more money we can raise to get people out, whether it's, you know, clay shooting or fishing trips or hunting trips or with whoever, you know, that's what it's all about, right? That's what drew me to HHO in the beginning. Was linking up with good guys with Larry Holitsky, you know, meeting Sean. I knew that my cousin Isaiah in Wisconsin had been doing good stuff and getting a lot of guys out. And I mean, you guys are one of the best organizations I've ever worked with, nonprofit wise. And you know, I've as a business owner, you guys talked about, you know, the business and wanting to give back. And you know, we do give to a lot of other organizations, but we've scaled back and we try to give the most to, because I firsthand have seen the benefits of the trips that we put on, that I personally put on. So I can only imagine with what like Sean's awesome hog honey put on, the 10, 12 member hunts. You know, we can't put out as many members with us usually, but some of these other big trips that Sean has done in Texas and Ken and Kevin have done in Texas. So if we can help, you know, raise money for that and give back, because I mean, you guys are doing a great job all the way from the top
all the way down. I've never heard you guys say no to anything that your staff members have put out. And that is huge. I mean, for an organization as big as you guys are now, to still have the touch, you know, like you do with the low level guys, that's freaking awesome. And I want you guys to keep up the good work, man. You guys are really doing a really good job.
We definitely appreciate it. And we're coming up in an hour. So you just did an amazing job of pitching HHL. If you had to pitch Caprock to people coming from New York, Oregon, California, wherever in the country, what is your pitch to them to book with Caprock over any other guide services in Texas? And I'm putting you on the spot here.
Family, because you're not just a client to me. You're not just a paycheck. You're not just, you know, a person that runs through and run, you know, that we take out in the field and we do a job and then it's over with. You know, we have a rebook rate that is great. All my clients become family. You know, I've got guys that are come in outside of the season. I've probably talked to guys that have been with me since the beginning, and every year it seems like we're adding another family member to the crew. They talk to my guides, you know, 365 days a year. I talk to my guys outside of hunting season. If you're looking for not just the kill, if you're looking for the full-on experience of someone that's really, truly going to care, that's what we're about. We're good old boys that like to have a good time, have laughs, and we're there to work for you and take care of you and bring you in as a member of our own.
Hey, because that's the kill I want. I'm going to plug Jonathan. Me and him are working together. We're gonna launch like a Caprock TV this season. And Jonathan wants to do a miniseries on more than just the kill, right? And more what it is about than just like the family. And we're obviously doing this on the side of HHO, but that's just like who he is as a person and his business is. And I think that's really important. So we'll get that out to HHO and we'll figure it out together from a guide perspective and a videography perspective. But I mean, man, him and his wife and his son, they just care so much about the community, and I think it needs to be known.
Awesome. And then Sean or Kevin, I guess both of you guys can answer this. You know, I try to ask all the states that come on here, if there's one thing that you needed within your state, you know, whether that be field staff awareness, landowner permission to go hunt on property, you name it. What's one thing that you got, if you feel like, what's one thing that you feel would help take Texas up to the next level?
Number one is more field staff. If we can grow our team, our HHO Team Texas, if we can get more field staff, we have ample amount of landowners and support within the state to get our members out on hunts and fishing trips or outdoor activities. We just need more volunteers. Volunteers.
All right. I like it. So if you're listening to this and you know people in Texas, have them get a hold of Kevin or Sean at texas@hometownhereoutdoors.org and they'll hook you up with a volunteer application and kind of running through the process of what being field staff means. And then also, if you're in Texas or ever want to go down to Texas, make sure to check out Jonathan Underwood with Caprock Waterfowl. And the easiest way to get a hold of you guys is through Facebook, phone number, your website. What is it?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook at Caprock Waterfowl Outfitters or Caprock Waterfowl. You can find us on our website, caprockwaterfowloutfitters.com. Or you can reach out, give me a shout, 940-293-3737. You know, all my information's all over the website. You know, the number for the business is my personal phone number. So Kevin can tell you I answer all the time. So not a big deal. You know, we'll put you guys on a hunt, you know, give you the West Texas experience, whether you're hog hunting, crane hunting, dove hunting, teal hunting, whatever it is. So we'll show you what Texas is about. I mean, it's good people and good hunting. So
yeah, make sure to book a trip and then stay at their lodge. That way you're right there next to the hunting. And, you know, as always, you know, I'll remind everyone again that the veteran suicide hotline has changed. They've updated it from the long, 8-9-digit number to now it's just 988. So if you're ever going through a hard time, make sure that you reach out to, you know, either that hotline number or reach out to one of our staff. We have people that are trained to intervene in crisis situations. And once again, Jonathan, thank you for coming on and appreciate everything that you do for HHO. Sean and Kevin, appreciate you guys coming on as well. And until next time, we'll see you guys out on the water and in the woods.
Outstanding, gentlemen.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. For more information about Hometown Hero Outdoors, visit our webpage at www.hometownherooutdoors.org.